Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back. You guys know it's coming, right? You guys know it's coming. Look, if you just happened to land on here because mission accepted sounded kind of cool, it is. And we welcome you to the show. But those that have been around for a while, you know that we absolutely love on our listeners and our viewers. And if you're, you know, if you're driving, just keep listening. Watch us later. I'm so excited today. We have an amazing woman who's coming on to talk about a number of different things. But when I think about her and I think about you guys, and you know that you're the best audience, but I love it and so do you when I tell you exactly how good you are this week. And I'm going to say that I think you are the most industrious. You love to travel. You love to do different things. You're the most industrious listeners and viewers we have. And oh, is that going to be exactly who our guest is today? Are you guys starting to pick up on my new little theme? I know. I have to entertain myself when I'm here, you guys. I'm having a good time. So I want to introduce you to Andrea Sweeney Blanco. And you may know her as Andy from The Fixers. It is a show that has industrious and all of that. And she travels around the world and she's going to talk about what she does and how she does it. And honestly, why she does it, because that's why this show is called Mission Accepted. It's like, we've all had times where the mission showed up and we have a choice, yes or no. Sometimes our back's been against the wall and we don't have a choice, right? Our best friend's dragging us into a side gig, or, you know, we're becoming entrepreneurs because we just can't go and sit at that desk one more time, one more day for one more reason. There's lots of reasons why we decide to take that entrepreneurial spirit and forge it forward, scared or not scared, excited or not excited. And you guys love to hear how we're doing it. You like to laugh at our, you know, at our mistakes, and you like to learn. So we're super excited to have Andy. She likes to go by Andy, and so I'm going to call her Andy. So Andy, welcome to the Mission Accepted Show, a group of people that like to take on a mission.
Yeah, thank you, Deb. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So we're super excited. We know that you're going to be, and these guys are well-versed. This audience has been listening to about this incredible 262 project we're doing, where it's all about standing up, speaking up, and showing up. And the words around yes, you are so important, because sometimes when we're in our world and we are standing up, we forget to stop and share that stand up, you know, and speak up with other people. And then sometimes people are just venturing into this world, this new world of entrepreneurship, and they don't even really know what that means yet. They're trying to navigate what, you know, stepping up and standing up and showing up is really all about, and everywhere in between. And so I'd love to know, so you guys be excited, because Andy's going to be in the book and she's going to be sharing that. She's also going to be speaking at our keynote book launch in 2024. You guys know about that. And I know that you're all coming. And Yes. We will let you know when and where and how, when all of that comes to play. Right now, we're meeting every month on the 8th, and you just go on this beautiful transformational journey with us, and we'll get you there. Just mark off International Women's Day 2024 and May 11th, 2024, and you too can see the book go live. So Andy, I know that you said yes, and we're so happy that you did. It's obviously a book about women and gumption. When people are like, what's it about? I'm like, women, gumption together. Wow. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for being a part of that. And I'd love to ask you, just kind of sidebar, because I know that you have a bit of a varied life. There's many things that you've done. You know, this is not your first rodeo being out at, you know, being part of The Fixer. Please share with us kind of your journey, what it is that you do, how you got to this place, and what it's been like to be a woman in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you, Deb, for creating this whole project in the first place. I mean, bringing women together that have that entrepreneurial spirit, that are doing in things that are important to them in their lives and giving them a platform. I think that that's beautiful. And I think in the spirit of supporting other people, it's important for women to support each other, right? Because I think historically we've been maybe put together, put against each other in some ways. And there's never any need in my philosophy, there's never any need to compete with anybody else. You are on your lane, and the closest that you get to who you truly are in your journey, the less competition there is, because everyone's going to be so uniquely different, and there's beauty in that. And when your gifts shine and you allow other people's gifts to shine, that's when magic happens, right? I think all creative endeavors or entrepreneurial endeavors or business endeavors are mostly magical when there's collaboration. So I love that you've started something that really embodies the collaborative spirit. And I'm a fan of that. So thank you for inviting me on here. This is awesome. To share a little bit about my journey, I currently host a TV docuseries. We travel the world doing build projects for communities in need. So I am a host of the show. I'm also a carpenter on the show. I get to do some design work and work alongside the communities, learn about their culture, learn about how they approach building and take on some of their practices as well. I've been everywhere from Guatemala to the African jungles, using a machete to cut down trees for my shade structures, which I'd never done before. So I think the beauty of what I'm getting to do now is that I could never have dreamed this dream job that I'm getting to live now. I say I'm living my dream job, but I never could have imagined that something like this existed. However, everything that came beforehand in my life, as I look back in retrospect, I realized it was preparing me to be able to do this job now. And that's a really cool thing to look at, because I think a part of the human experience is that we never truly feel like we know what we're doing. We just kind of need to forge ahead. I mean, you could be the CEO of whatever and still have that imposter syndrome, you know? And I think that that is a beautiful place to be, because it acknowledges that we are always learning more and more. And anytime that you feel you've arrived or are resolved in any way, that is when you might be in trouble, because you know, life is changing, everything's evolving. And so part of that evolution is never feeling like we've quite arrived. But to be in a place that I get to serve others for as my job and then tell their stories, that is something I've always wanted to do. So I began as an actor. I was very fortunate that acting found me in a way. I'm from Monterrey, Nuevo León in Mexico originally. So I was born and raised there. It's northeast of the country. My family's from Mexico City. So I was in school one day, and then a touring professional theater company came by and held auditions for, they were doing a production of Anastasia there in Mexico. So I got cast as young Anastasia when I was in, you know, kindergarten, and I got to work professionally, and we went into a recording studio and we did all of these amazing things. And I just fell in love with the stage, because I realized that I got to embody different perspectives and different styles of living through imagination. And so from then, the acting bug just bit. And once we moved to the States, when I was in my very early teens, I learned English. I already knew I wanted to be an actor, so I worked really hard to get rid of my accent, and then also be able to do various different accents. So now I speak a couple different languages. With what I do now on the Fixers, I always try to learn the local language of where we're going, at least enough to get by. Because it builds rapport with the locals, and that's important. You know, you always, the way I approach each episode that we do is I never think I'm there to help other people, because I think that disempowers a little bit. I am there to learn and to be of service. And therefore it's up to me to also acknowledge the cultural norms that are there, to also, take in what they have to teach me. And that empowers others as well, to live their truth and tell their story. So that's insanely important to me in any project that I do. So back to the story, I guess. I started on the stage. Then once we were in the US, I started doing commercial work. My manager saw me in a play and represented me for a few things. So I started doing like little co-star roles on TV and independent films. My parents never let me be homeschooled because at the time there weren't great systems just yet. Now there are amazing homeschools out there, but at that time I had to go to school. So I did, and I went and got my BFA in musical theater at Emerson College with an emphasis in directing, which led me to direct theater in North Hollywood and Los Angeles area. So I've been a theater director. I've been a producer, a line producer, a executive producer on different film projects. I have just wanting to learn every aspect of the industry. I was equally on camera as I was behind the scenes working as a PA or doing every job on a set that I possibly could to know exactly how it ran. I never wanted to be in one mindset or mentality at that time, in my late teens, early 20s, because I realized, I never wanted to feel like I was above or in any privileged position, and have that sense of connection and empathy with anyone that I was working with. And I think that that's translated really well in all the different things that I've gotten to learn and do. And now that I have done all of those things, I am zero focused on being one thing, whatever I'm doing in that moment. Now I am very fortunate to be able to just host and act. At the moment, I have produced and probably will again. But if I'm producing, I am exclusively producing. I'm not trying to do everything else. I do believe in being obsessive about the job that you're doing, because you have to love it with all of your heart, with everything that you do. It's like being in a relationship. There's a give and take always. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a relationship, you are hopefully very loyal and devotional to that relationship. And what devotional means to me is that we are devotional about our practices. We're not emotional, because emotions are all over the place. They can be influenced by, our hormonal state, or they can be influenced by, what somebody else did or what we experienced that day. And it kind of gets to us. And if we live by emotion, then we're not on solid ground. Our decisions are not going to be consistent. And I think part of a focused mentality, part of a through line in any business that you do, is to be able to be devotional about your craft. And so that's a standard that I try to hold myself to. There are days that I wake up and I've been on the road for 10 weeks and I've connected with 100 people a week in a different country, and I'm jet lagged and exhausted, from my muscles are sore from building, and I don't really feel like going outside and meeting new people. However, it's that devotional element kicks in, and I think, if I'm going to speak about anything, this is what I do, then I would feel like a hypocrite if I didn't hold a consistency to the level of me that I bring to every single day to my work. And it's important to me to never be hypocritical from what I say and from my actions, because that's where my sense of integrity comes from. And integrity is the most important thing to me ever. If I ever feel not intentional about what I'm doing, I super stand back and reflect and have to really sit on that, because I think passive living is a waste of energy. It's something that is so easy to fall into if we're in places that we're not dealing with emotionally, if we're sad about something, or if we're too engaged in social media and scrolling and all these different voices that we're hearing, and we're not giving our own voice a platform toward ourselves. Because everything comes from the inside out. So all of those things just kind of encompass my story, the things that I've learned throughout being an actor, a director, a producer, and now a host and a documentarian.
Wow. There's lots to dig in there. I really appreciate the transparency. I feel like there's, I've been in the world of entrepreneurship for 31 years, and it's certainly, as a woman, has had its, my goodness, it's been quite a journey. And I really loved how you said we are really, it is about being powerful. There is a lot of, it's not even, oh, maybe there's a lot of documentation, a lot of experiences that people have had is as women have been able to have their voice. There has been like what you talked about pitting against and playing different roles till we finally got to a place where we could feel comfortable saying, I am an entrepreneur. I do want to step out. Ooh, this was a big one. I'm an entrepreneur and a mom. I can tell you, I had a few eyes rolling at me like, that you're such a good mom. And I'm like, So, there's all those things that happen as we have made our way. You talked about the power of collaboration and you're starting to see that happen. I really, honestly, for me, I think I saw it in the fashion industry. I think they were one of the very first to start collaborating. And it was interesting. It's a sector that my son's in and it was streetwear. And you'd see, Nike with Champion. You're like, Champion? Champion's a bland brand that, used to be able to buy at low insert. Like you see all this collaboration happening in the clothing and the fashion industry. We see it in the music industry where there's duets, but it wasn't really seen as collaboration per se. It was a duet. Mm-hmm. Now we've started to see it really sink into the world of entrepreneurship, and there's a lot of collaboration going. Anthology books, for example, the one that weren't, there's an anthology book. The book that we just finished producing was 22 women and 5 couples in a specific business sector, and these were all by nature people that were in the same industry that would be competing with each other. Mm-hmm. And it got picked up so high by media because how did you get 22 people in the same industry that want the same customer sit down in a book and talk about their success and give away their success stories and not mention their company? Like, how did you do that? Right. And I think it's the power of collaboration and understanding. And now we're starting to see not only collaboration, but transparency, transparency between entrepreneurs like, hey, how's it going? Oh, it's so great. And the pressure to always be on top of your game and to wake up with that smile and to match your social media pictures every day and blah, blah, blah. And there's all this yearning for transparency. I love how you said that, look, think about it. 10 weeks on the road, you're building, you're talking, you're mentoring, you're learning new languages, you're sharing yourself, you're in the outpour. And to wake up in the morning, I bet there's some times where you're like, this was my passion. Yeah. But there's a surge that takes your body almost out of bed, right? There's that passion and fuel. I very much relate and I can understand. And I love the transparency. And I think the more we can say to women and men, look, it's okay to not be on your top game today. And it's okay to perform like you are. And just this knowingness that, look, there's something going on in your family. There's something going on financial. There's something going on. Your mind is over here. It doesn't mean you're less passionate. It doesn't mean you're less committed. It doesn't mean you're less, for your words, devotional. It doesn't mean that. The devotion and the commitment came at some point and it fuels you. And some days I do believe our passion literally wakes up probably 3 minutes before we do and goes, today's going to be funky. Let's just get things going for her, should we? And somehow it just gets you up, right? It just gets you up and gets you going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think each time that you show up to the task at hand, especially when you don't feel exactly prepared for it or you're exhausted, or it's one more opportunity for your mind and your body and your heart to trust in your own capacity to show up. Because when we show up, even for ourselves, to things that we lay out for ourselves, say, I'm going to go to the gym at 8 a.m. tomorrow. And we don't have anything else going on and we're so sleepy, it's so easy to press that snooze button and there's nothing wrong with it. No consequences are going to happen other than a little subliminal thing that starts to develop in our mental habits, which don't fully trust ourselves to then show up later on. And there's psychological studies behind this, right? But something that I really learned on the road and with such a physically and mentally tasking job is that, showing up builds a sense of self-respect. Self-respect is so important for trusting in our own capacity to take on any task. Because earlier I said, we never quite feel like we know what we're doing. We might be really experts in certain areas of our fields, but to be in a position of leadership, you don't always have the answers and you never will, right? And so the best thing that we can possibly have and the best thing we can possibly teach our children and others is the capacity no, it's to trust in their own capacity to figure it out, their own capacity to show up.
And I love when you said that. When you first said that, I was like, trust your capacity. I was like, oh man, I wish we weren't on video because I wanted to write that down. Trust in your own capacity, because as people, and I'm sure that you get this, I have no doubt that you get this, that people look and they're like, wow, you're so busy. Wow, I can't believe how much you do. Wow, I can't believe that you do that. And wow, and sometimes they say it with enthusiasm and complimentary. And then there's been the ones like, wow, like, do you ever take time off? Wow, do you ever vacation? Wow, do you ever? And you're so busy. And I don't let people say that busy word. And I'm like, oh, you mean I'm abundant? You mean I'm abundant, right? And they're like, you're so, and I'm like, I'm so stoked about what I do every day. It's perfect. Yeah. It's awesome. And so there's that, I don't know, that rise, that availability and trust in your capacity. It's like, I'll know when it's too much. And thank you. I'll know when I need to take a day off. And I'll know, because you're trusting your own capacity, right? Mm-hmm. And when you can move yourself and when you can't, and pushing yourself past, it's kind of like, you know, extreme athletes, right? Yes. No one ever says to them, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean you train that much for the Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if our passion are like the Olympics, right? I mean, we're all fueled about different things. So I have to ask you, okay, so you know, I was going to, one of the questions that I really wanted to ask you is, because many people out there have an idea. They have an idea of what it's like to be in media. They have an idea of what it's like to be in certain sectors. And of course, being on TV is very, it's very alluring, right? It's very alluring. And many people are wanting to go in that direction. And we know that the whole world of TV and streaming and having your own channel and all that stuff has become so much more available, so that it's possible. You know, it's possible. So for you, I mean, it sounds like you kind of, like you said, it found you. I always say that with our gifts, sometimes it finds us, we find them, you know, whatever it is. But if someone wanted to do something like what you did, if someone wanted to be on a reality show, if someone wanted to, you know, there's all sorts of different reality shows. Do you have any advice at all on how someone should prepare for that, what they should do in terms of maybe contacts or get yourself ready or go do some work in this area first, or whether it's about fixing people's homes in multiple countries, or, you know, there's a lot of different reality shows, but a lot of different things that are going on. I mean, look at how the Food Channel has completely changed, and now they've got new shows popping up all the time, and I'm a foodie. So, you know, but if someone wanted to do something like what you were doing, what would you tell them to do or go?
Yeah. Well, it depends on what sector they would want to do it, right? If they wanted to pursue it in the producing side of things or in the hosting side of things. In my case, I very much have been listening to cues from the path that I've been on, as much as I've been putting visuals and actions toward where I want to go. So what I mean by that is I learned a few years ago, this little method from a friend of mine. He would write very specific visions on post-it notes and put them in his mirror. And every morning he'd wake up and look at those specific goals that he was driving toward. So I started doing the same thing. I would say write down, actually physically write. There's something about writing that slows your mind down and really causes you to focus and be specific about where it is that you want to go. You need to ask yourself why you want to go there. You know, what is it in you that is trying to collect from those experiences? If it's completely self-serving, I don't believe it happens. I don't believe that's the flow of how things work. I believe if you have a purpose and you have something that you're driving toward, that's when magic happens. So in order to be specific, I focused on the what I wanted and not the how. And so how is when we listen to cues around us that start to take place and start to happen. And we start to see doors open when we put our awareness and attention toward that. I believe in God, so I call it co-creation, right? I don't really love the word manifestation because I feel like it takes credit. And I can't possibly take credit for so many of the way things have shown up in my life, because it's exactly what I had written down, but it came in the most unexpected way. And so I think that that's just how I view it, right? And so on practical terms, in terms of approaching the world of media, you have to do your research. You have to be specific and visualize what you want, why you want it. What is it that you uniquely bring to it? We all have unique gifts and things that we wouldn't normally associate with, you know, with the media world in the first place. When I started doing, you know, construction projects, service projects abroad and in college for, you know, there was the Christian Appalachian project, which we did build projects in the Appalachian Mountains for dilapidated homes for families in need there. And then I was doing like Habitat for Humanity type of stuff, and always doing kind of community service volunteer opportunities. And that carpentry interested me, and I love the physical labor of it, because it just felt amazing to get to work on something and then physically see it come to life. I loved that. But I never tied that in to my acting or my practice at first, right? Because I thought, you know, those two things are separate. That's my hobby, and this is what I do. And I just think, have hobbies and engage with them. You know, earlier, Deb, you said people would look at you a little askew when you mentioned you're a mom and an entrepreneur. And I think that sometimes when you are any practice, an actor, any and anything that you do, and then you say, oh, and I love to do X, Y, and Z, people have that same reaction. But the thing is, doing both of those things complements each other profusely. I bet you, I don't have kids, but I bet that your kids have given you ideas or taught you things that maybe wouldn't have come about if you didn't have kids as an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. And or it fuels your passion as a mother. You know, our maternal instincts as women are powerful. They're huge. I mean, you hear stories of women lifting cars because their baby went under it or something, right? Because that adrenaline, it's an instinct that kicks in. And I think that when you have that beauty within you, of that passion, it translates in many different forms. A lesser example might be that, you know, I always feel I love reading novels. I love reading fantasy. It fills me so much, and I can get lost in a book. But I don't always make so much time for it because I think, oh, I can't justify it. I haven't finished my work, or I haven't completed this, or I haven't landed the job that I wanted. And I have to do that before I can enjoy myself. And mm-hmm. I think that when you don't balance, it actually takes away from, because it gives it this kind of needy energy to complete a task rather than the journey that we're meant to be enjoying as we get to that end result. And so for people wanting to go into the media world, you know, if you're going in for attention or self-glorification or self-promotion, I don't think that it's going to be a very edifying journey, and you will end up disappointed. You might get very lucky and land a cool gig in something or other. But at the end of the day, if you don't have something to say that is unique, if you don't have something to show for it, all you want is attention. Then, you know, we can be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we do need a little bit of recognition for the work that we do. And it's not a sin to want a little bit of that. You know, I think we all need to feel seen in some way. Something that I've learned, because I think for me, to be seen for who I am and appreciated is super, super important. But of course, being in the film industry, the media world, not everybody is going to see you how you see yourself, or they're going to peg you into boxes, especially as an actor. You know, you play this type of role, or there's always definitions being placed on us and assumptions being made. I mean, I am a minority in my field because I do a construction show. A lot of the communities we go into, they've never seen a woman that looks like me, or that even like just a woman in general doing physical labor. That's the men's jobs. And so rather than telling them off for something they may not have, you know, any context for, I just get to do it. And when giving people exposure through actions for maybe a different way of seeing, it's a cultural experience for them too. And so leading by action comes into play in anything that you want to do. And so if you are an actor and you're not getting the opportunities presented to you, produce something, learn what it takes to produce a film, and then you won't feel as frustrated as an actor when there aren't enough projects, you know? Action begets learning, understanding, and more action. Because it, you know, if we're moving to a specific place in our lives, we might have planned to, you know, take, you know, if I'm moving this drink over here, but something intercepts me, and it ends up moving over here, the drink still moved. And this might actually be more convenient for me to drink than if I, where I had planned to place it, you know? So when you're in motion, you've began something that can be deviated to its rightful spot. But if you stay stagnant and you try to think about it and you try to do it exactly right, you're not going to get anywhere. Because unfortunately, somewhere in the algorithm of life and the design of how things work, we have to learn the hard way. We have to just learn by doing and fail. And I mean, if you think about the giant modules, you know, in our world, that, you know, the billionaires, the millionaires, they had tons of failed businesses for the most part. And then there was that one that they really believed in, and it catapulted, and their vision came to be the at the forefront, right? But they, you know, I guess Elon Musk comes to mind because he was living in his mother's basement for so long, and he started his businesses down there, and he failed multiple times. Mm-hmm. And so knowing the stories of the people that you look up to in an industry, how they did it, and then figure out how your story is going to look like, not try to emulate theirs, but at least see the patterns that connect among all of them, because there are patterns. There is a design to how things work. And where is your mindset at? Are you taking responsibility for what you have control over, or are you stuck in a mentality that is maybe victimizing yourself as to why things haven't worked out? If you focus on obviously why things aren't working out, your energy is flowing in that direction, and things are going to keep, that you're going to keep hitting roadblocks. But if you focus on how the new path that has presented itself to you, you'll end up in a place you didn't expect, and it's going to be exciting. At the end of the day, you know, it might be scary and awful, but in certain but it's not a pretty picture. But that is, I mean, you used a beautiful word, this transparency, right? That is a transparent way of living. And when you live with integrity, meaning your words and your actions match, then that transparency affects even you, because you're in a receiving space as much as you are in a producing, creative space.
The endurance, when you explain that, is so compelling, because it gives birth to ideas that don't exist yet. And it reminds me of a Scottish Himalayan proverb that I share with people where they're on the verge of, or they're on the verge of the next level. And I'm sure you've experienced it. I've experienced, you have an idea, a concept, even this grand 262. We're like, well, we've just done the fourth summit and we've learned a couple of new things here. We're going to shift this here. You can't foresee everything, because not everything has come into play to even need to be changed. And so in the Scottish proverb, it's very much based around the idea of providence. It's actually called providence. It's like, you know, when you say yes, then and only then providence can come into play, and all seen and unforeseen activity comes into play. And so when you make that movement, when you take that time, when you can do the best that you can. And I mean, I love now, I mean, 30 years ago, and I don't know when the evolution was for you that you started to really like make shifts and decide, I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing this. I don't know what age or stage that you were at, but yes, when we go to challenge ourselves as well, tests come. Yes. I always call it so there's goblins. I call them the goblins. It's like you finally make the decision. And then mm-hmm. sometimes the universe is like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Are you sure? Because this little test comes. I'm like, what do you mean? I just made that decision. And it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it flows right away. It doesn't mean that the rewards come right away. It doesn't mean you see the end of the road right away, but it means that you got to that next step and you braved up, right? That's where that bravery comes in. So, I mean, it is really a life of unforetold, is it not? I mean, like you said, you don't know, and you don't even know the magic that's coming, but there's something about that internal endurance that keeps you going in that position. And yay for all the coaches, and yay for all the experts, and yay for all the people that we surround ourselves with, that we can bounce and fall down and get up. And it's a new world around that. So much a new world. I think that's very interesting. I didn't think about that when I was talking to you about, you know, what's your idea and how does it feel like for you to be a woman who's sharing what you're sharing and doing what you're doing? That of course, in certain countries that you go into, you are not in, you are not, it is not the norm of that. Well, honestly, where I am in North America, I just, you know, one of my clients is a woman in the trades. And we talk about that, about women in trades and the collaboration around women in trades. But in terms of your producing, you know, production, PRing, any of that, is there something around being a woman in media that has been interesting to you, or something that you've learned that there can be lessons shared, or anything along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, I think when, as a woman, I feel that I am constantly seeking to look at any situation as much from an intuitive space as from a practical, realistic space. So what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is anybody that I meet or any situation that I'm approaching, I feel it out beforehand. You know, there's an almost extrasensory intuition that I think is very powerful or very strong, particularly in women. But obviously it can be across the board with anybody. But I do think that women have a gift of that in many ways. And so they say that women multitask very a little bit easier than men do. I haven't found that to be true. I need to zero in on one task and place all my attention, because I'm super ADD, and I've learned, I never medicated for ADD or anything like that, but I learned to harness it in the way that I needed to, because it's actually a beautiful, creative space to be in. You know, to be ADD is to connect a lot of different concepts at the same time, and that's why multitasking just overrides the brain. So I learned patiently and with a lot of trial and error to just sit and focus on that one thing at a time. But you know, they say a lot of women multitask very easily, and they can be, you know, a mom and also run a business and also somehow like have a general store in the back of the house and like, you know, and I think then that's beautiful. So everybody really has their own lane and their own unique gifts. And within the industry, of course, I've been faced with situations where, even though I don't really, on the day-to-day, I don't think about the fact that I'm a woman going into the industry. I think about the fact that I am, you know, a professional producer, or I'm a host, and I focus on the task at hand. I rarely think about the fact that I'm a woman until someone else makes me aware of it. And I remember. And so I have had experiences within the industry that, you know, where I've been maybe, and it could be perceived, right? But I've been pigeonholed into, especially when I was in my early 20s. I'm still in my 20s now, but when I was in my very, very early 20s out of college, and, you know, I went in to as theater director to an all-girls high school. And I built their theater program, and I felt a huge imposter syndrome, if you will, because I'd never done that job before. And I was in a position of creating something pretty big, and it was very exposed. And I felt very, I was working with some men as well. And I did feel like there was a lot of, instead of asking me what I knew and what I didn't know, it would just be like explaining what needed to happen. And in my head, I'd be like, well, yes, that of course. but you know, I almost just wanted to be gracious and didn't say anything, or correct them or anything like that. And then that has followed me since as well, in within the hosting world and within the construction world, there is a sense of, you know, assuming that there's a teaching that needs to happen before I can show or approve what I have to go. But then I have to question myself and say, now, is it my ego that needs for them to know that I am already expert in X, Y, and Z? Or is it, you know, something that's going to be beneficial to them? And I do think that the approach to that is very important. And we need to be asking ourselves those questions, because what is it going to benefit? Well, if it's, you can bet that if it's happening to a sister, to like someone that I'm working with, you know, and I see it takes place, I'm more likely to say something than I am if it's happening to me, unless I assess the situation and I say, oh, this is a good moment to help others learn by me doing. I do believe in showing what you're capable of more so than talking or you know, aggressively discussing or telling people off. I think that when we revert to defense and to, and I'm not saying that I've done this perfectly, by the way. There's
okay.
Speak to it now, and because this is what I strive for at this time, because I have gotten defensive and I have put people in their place of like, why would you assume that? And I just don't think, I think it makes people defensive before it actually, before they can actually take something away from it. And so I think the best place, if you find yourself being undermined in some way, whether it's very overtly and very like publicly humiliated, or whether it's in a very subtle way, I think that there is a way to handle it with grace that you will never regret. Because there's always so many vantage points we're not seeing, right? We're only seeing through our perspective. And so as women with that gift, that intuitive gift that is just innately within us, if we can't do that, then there's no hope for the world. Like it just, and I think, you know, I've seen interviews where the interviewer of celebrities, where the interviewer has made a sort of sexist question and the interviewee has not shamed them for it necessarily, but instead gone, well, what would you answer to that question? Or like, you know, something playful or making humor out of it so that the person can be gently shown that what they have just assumed or perceived was maybe a little bit backwards, you know?
Right.
No.
That's well said. Yeah. I think particularly with you in a role that traditionally still very much so has, you know, has presence. So I think for you showing what you're doing and being able to address in that way, I think it, when I think of everything you just said, I think it's about assertion with grace, right? Yeah. Having grace, because not always people mean to say something that reflects a less than position. It's an automatic cultural assumption sometimes, even here where we live in North America.
Yeah. And to speak to that too, because I realize that I'm presenting things that I've learned and maybe more broader general concepts, but I'm seeing specific images and instances in my mind, right? So just to have one specific example of that laid out, when I was in Costa Rica and we were building a community center for the women of that region to have opportunities to sell their goods. And they had very crafty, beautiful mini businesses, but they were just trying to sell what they could off of the street. So we built this community center where people could gather and also had little shops for these entrepreneurially spirited women to have these opportunities. And the section that I chose or that I got to build, because we divide among the hosts, so there's three men and myself, and we divide projects throughout the whole build project and we work as a team to make it happen. I got to build the traditional artisanal oven and a shade structure above it, because that is honoring the culture there of how the women make tortillas by hand, and that is an art in itself. learning the mud and the recipe essentially that they use for the clay oven was really, really fascinating and really cool experience. However, the building of the shade structure above, that was also traditionally done, and we used palm leaves, and the way that they braid them with the sticks on the roof is very specific. And I went to go grab the palm trees, cut some down, and I was carrying them, and the men would just come and grab them from me. Like, no, you shouldn't be carrying that. No, you shouldn't. But there weren't a lot of people around. So listen, if there's something heavy and guys are built for it, yeah, you go for it, because I might get hurt. There are things that you're like, okay, I know what my strengths are and what my weaknesses might be in this area. So that didn't bother me as much as the assumption that they were going to be building it and I was just going to get to look at them doing
it. Just watch.
Just look pretty. Like, no, I wasn't. I wasn't about that. So I climbed up the we'd already set the posts. And so I climbed up to where the sticks were and I tied them together, and I had one of the local men. And the way that they do it there is they go without shoes. And then, because it helps you grip on, and you're literally on all fours gripping onto this, roof essentially of just sticks crossing over each other as you braid the palm leaves on the sticks. So he taught me how to braid, and I was right there with him braiding. And an hour into it, everyone just went, oh, okay. And then they were inviting me to other projects that they were doing and saying, you know, what do you think the design for the bottom of the oven should be? And I said, oh, well, what if we cross over, you know, we're using oak wood, so let's do this and that. And then it became a collaborative experience, but it wouldn't have occurred to them at the beginning to say, oh, okay, you're a host of the show, but you know, you're just hosting, mm-hmm. You're not actually here to do this. This is, you know, our jobs. And that wasn't happening to the guys, by the way. The other guys, they were doing, and the workers were asking them questions about, you know, what they wanted in each place, but that was not the same for me.
Right.
So there are subtle differences. And just knowing that everything's going to be different in terms of outlooks across the world. And if we let that affect us, if we let anything offend us because of our own sensibilities, then that's a little bit short-sighted, right? Because again, it's like all the vantage points, and taking responsibility for our thoughts and for something affecting us is so powerful. Like, something that I have really found is very freeing. I seek freedom in all things. Mm-hmm. I do. And something that is very freeing to my mind is that if someone does something that I find offensive or says something that I find offensive, just taking a pause before reacting is everything. Those extra moments of just going, where am I? Why would they have said that? And then sometimes you can ask them, you know, a great, great trick. I've read it in many different places before, but I really can vouch that it works, is if someone offends you in any way in a professional setting and you just pause and you ask them, are you okay? It diffuses everything that they possibly could have.
All right. You heard it here. Use it in your world, and then send us and let us know how that's going. No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I'm cognizant of your time, and I want everyone to be able to know that they can come back and hear you on the 262 event you're going to be sharing. And I'm going to kind of just throw a complete wrench in this. Two things. I'm going to ask you a completely different question, but I want to finalize up with something, because truly you are a believer in kind of what what you set your mind to can come about, what you share with people can actualize when you take motion. So let's ask this question, because you give and you outpour, and you're obviously in that position many times. And from the sense that of you sharing about where it is that you're going and the next step for you and what it is that you're doing. So I believe in this so much. I think now, if there's anything, you know, that you want to keep to yourself, go ahead. But if there's something that you're willing to share, like, what would you like to put out there so that people can hear, that it can somehow come back to you? It's like, is there something on you? I always call it your business or your personal bucket list. Like, what's on your bucket list that, you know, you would like to put out there? Because, you know, if you believe in that, that what we say about comes about. What's something that we can collectively hold for you that's on your list? Honestly, it can be, I'd like some purple velvet chairs. I mean, those were on my list for a long time, and then I made them. So I didn't make them. I had someone else make them. But you know what I mean? Like the treasure map, the writing down, the requesting, the inside, the asking, the collaboration, the co-creation. So what can we help you co-create for your life, Andy?
Oh, that's beautiful. You know, I do also believe in sharing once things are in motion. Like once you have completed a task that you set out to do and it's in the process of getting made, that's when I start to share about that, you know, that longing or that desire. I think a little bit ahead of that, it's just smoke. Like it's just an idea. And if I haven't taken action toward it, there's no power to it just yet. So I like something to have a little bit of substance. Right now I'm hosting the docuseries. I hope it goes for another season. The season four right now is about to come to a close. And that is, any creative will understand whenever a show closes, like a theater show, and I'm seeing some nods over here. It's great. A theater show or a you know, film or something, you know, you've created something with a family essentially. And when it ends, it's a total new beginning. And as we know, new beginnings can be equally exciting as they are scary. And they can feel very heavy because of what has passed, right? So the season's coming to a close. My heart does feel heavy because you never know if you're going to get picked up for another season. So I would love for another season to be picked up, not only because I think it brings a lot of joy to people around the world, but I think it really brings a global mindset and perspective to audiences within the US and globally. You know, you can see The Fixers, you can find it on byutv.org for free nationally, because it's available to Americans if they want it. And then internationally, you can see it on Discovery International. So if you're subscribed to Discovery, or if you have Discovery in your cable internationally, you can find it there. And I do think that each story is so unique and so different. And the reason I became an actor was to be able to put myself in so many different circumstances and shoes so I could really understand the human experience, not just from my vantage point. And getting to go to these countries and connect with the locals and build rapport in 1 week of doing a build project from beginning to completion is an experience unlike something I can possibly put into words. And it has formed who I am now. I've been doing the show for 2 years. And so I guess, because it sounds like what you're saying without, you know, my language would be, what can I pray for you for? And if I can ask for prayer and you know, and clarity and direction. They say we teach best what we most need to learn, you know? And so I am constantly learning everything that I just shared on this podcast, and to remain steadfast in that would be what I ask prayer on.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm sure we all heard you, and thank you so much for letting us know where we can hear the show. Now we're going to just kind of clean the slate, and we're going to change our whole idea here. And the listeners know what's coming. They know to hang out to the end of the show. And just simply said, for no other reason than your own joy, you are like no other reason, particularly you, no other reason than your own joy, you are heading to a desert island. It's got nothing to do with fixing anything. You're going to a desert island, and it's going to be you and you. And that's it. That's all, right? You have one suitcase, and in that suitcase, you have the opportunity to bring one album. What is the album that you would take with you that you could not imagine never not hearing those songs again?
Oh.
Yeah, oh, no. I know. No, it's one. It's one album, and that's it. What's it going to be?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's so funny because I love music and I live by music and I dream with music. I cannot work out without music. I cannot be in a car without music. But it's one of those things where there's so many amazing artists and so many beautiful works of art that when you get asked this question, it's like your mind goes blank and you wonder if you've ever heard music at all. That is what you just did.
I know. And it happens to all of us, the best of us. So,
Okay. All right. If I had to pick, I had to absolutely against my will, which it
Yes.
is. How to pick one album? I think. I mean, it would be Evermore by Taylor Swift.
Okay, Evermore by Taylor Swift.
Yes.
There it is. There it is, people. I know it's a tough question. It's probably the toughest question. And with that, we are going to be wrapping up today's show. But look, you guys, we love you and adore you. Thank you for doing everything you do to share and subscribe. And that's how we keep this going. And that's how really we know the mission behind the Mission Accepted Media is to really create opportunity and open doors for people that they never thought was open. And anyways, just to encourage bravery to go in and do your own mission, whatever that looks like to you. And you know, I've always asked these music questions, particularly now more than ever with the They Did It tour project going on, supporting musicians globally. We want you to take that into effect. And you guys know what to do. If you want to be sitting where Andy's sitting right now, and you want to come on the show, this is really tough. It's deb@devdrummond.com. So I don't know if I can remember that. And then of course, if you want to go to theydidittour.ca and find out everything that we're doing to support music. And if this is your time and you feel like, you know what, I want to donate, and what I'm really calling it, clearing your karma. So if you've ever listened to music and downloaded it and didn't pay the artist, let me help you clear that karma by donating to the cause, and we will deliver your money back to the music community. How's that? That's what we will do for you. I know. Someone's got to do it. Anyways, thank you, Andy, so much for being here. You guys can come see her speak, and you can also read her words on page when the 262 book launches International Women's Day 2024. And we appreciate you so much. So thank you for coming on to the show. Thank you guys for listening. And until we see you again next week, you be well and you stay groovy. Bye for now.
Thanks, everyone.